Khalashing for Khalas? Want to bri or fine dine? Stay tuned to High FM on 101.9. Join Sharon Lurie and Adrian Bugatti for SN Fresen, Tuesday mornings from 11 a.m., where it's all about the food.
Welcome to the SN Fresen Show. I'm Sharon Lurie, the kosher butcher's wife, and I am thrilled to be joined by one of my favorite foodies, Meryl Elvie. So, welcome to the show, Meryl. Lovely to have you here.
Always so nice to be here. Thank you, Sean.
A pleasure. So, today we thought we'd just chat about food. I mean, what else is there to chat about? Chat about food, some quick and easy meals for the next couple of weeks before we start getting ready for all the Omtavim. So we're just going to talk about a couple of little tips for the kitchen, making life easy for all of us, and no one better than having Meryl here for this quick and easy, amazing food ideas that she has. So, okay, Meryl, let's start.
You have to start.
Okay, I'm going to start with one of my favorite easy chicken recipes, and all it is I take 8 chicken breasts. In fact, you can have them flattened, or probably flattened is better, the thin ones. And you'll need 8 breasts. You'll need a bottle, about 250 mils of Italian salad dressing, and 1 packet of Ina Parman stuffing mix, or the Woolworths stuffing mix. And you marinate the chicken breasts for about an hour or two, just in a roasting dish or in a glass bowl or whatever. You remove it from the dish, and then you just roll it into the stuffing. And into the stuffing mix, stick it onto a well-greased baking tray, and you bake it on about 190, depends on your ovens. I like to bake it quite hot. And just cook it quite quickly about it. Remember, most important thing, and I think this is a very good tip, I'm sure you'll agree with me, Meryl, before you even start, switch that oven on.
Absolutely.
Because so often, you like get so busy and I've got to put in the oven now.
So yeah, if you want a quick meal, everything has to be ready to go before you start.
Exactly.
Otherwise, it ain't going to be a quick meal.
It ain't going to be a quick meal. So you just stick this in the oven, cook it for about 15 minutes on 190, and I just serve it with a nice salad, or my favorite, mashed potato.
So I have an almost, a really similar recipe that's probably our family's favorite recipe. So
yes.
I don't use chicken breast. I actually use chicken on the bone. I just find when you're sticking it in the oven and baking it, chicken breasts dry out so quickly.
Yeah,
we're not
you've
the biggest fan.
Quick.
So yeah. So
quickly.
Chicken on the bone, I just find so much juicier. So I do almost the same thing, but to make it really quick, because for me, there's 2 criteria when I make supper during the week. It has to be ready, I'd like to say half an hour, but probably 45 minutes from start to finish on the table. And I also set myself a goal to try and get my meals of under 200 rand, a supper. Which is
nice.
Quite easy now because I've only got 2 kids at home. But when I have my whole family at home, not. And obviously then the budget's a bit bigger. But I really do set myself a goal of seeing if I can get dinner on the table for 200 rand. Depending on, obviously there's ingredients that you have at home that you don't have to buy, but when I go shopping, I'm like, that's all I'm spending on supper tonight. So my chicken dish that I do similar to that is I take a whole cut chicken,
the bra pack.
And I actually, rather than marinating it, just because again, my 45 minute time limit, I parboil it in the sauce. So I love Ina Palmer's sauces. She's just my go-to
great.
Person.
Yes.
And I just tell everyone, like, you just have to have your cheats. Like, you have to be able to have your staples in the cupboard that you can pull out and cheat. And some things just other people make better than I do. So, Ina Parman definitely is my go-to sauce person. So,
yes.
I use either her lemon and herb, or her olive and rosemary, or a mix of the peri-peri and lemon and herb. I adore her sauces.
They all blend in exactly.
So, but I parboil the chicken in it so that it's already half-cooked before I start. Then, exactly the same as you roll it in crumbs, I make my own crumbs. I literally take a packet of cornflakes. I take my stick blender. I stick it by the packet, big packet. I stick my stick blender in the packet. Zhung it up, which is the term we use for using a stick blender, and make the crumbs inside the packet. So for me, that's just, but you can buy a packet of the cornflakes crumbs. I just find price-wise, it's not worth it. Cornflakes crumbs. Take the chicken, the parboiled chicken then. Roll it in the crumbs and bake it exactly as you said.
Yes.
For us, the biggest fight is about the crumbs at the bottom. So there's almost as many crumbs in the dish as there is chicken, so that everybody can have the crumbs. Yes. And yeah, that's like a standard. And I think I can get that on the table from start to finish in 45 minutes.
Yeah. Which helps to parboil. Definitely.
The parboiling. And then you don't
especially
need,
when it's on
it
the phone.
Need, exactly. And it doesn't need to cook in the oven for as long. It can be right. in the oven for half an hour and it's ready.
Well, there's
so
another tip.
So that was a...
okay. And then I always find, you know, we actually have a customer. It's very interesting. We have a customer who buys, I think it's 10 chickens a week. And what she does is she gets the rotisserie chickens. They cut it up for her and they put... barbecue sauce on, or they do the Greek spice, or they put a lemon herb, or a garlic, or monkey gland, whatever it is. And then they vacuum pack it for her, and she sticks it in the freezer, pulls it out. I mean, it's as simple as that. Cuts it open, sticks it in a roasting pan, and just warms it through.
Yeah.
Defrosts it, warms it, remembering that it's cooked. So, I mean, it's as easy as that.
Yeah, I think a rotisserie chicken is probably the
Isn't it amazing?
It's a staple that you can have in the kitchen that you can do anything with.
Anything.
You can
make fajitas. You can absolutely. Make wraps.
Even a chicken a la king or a chicken pie with like the leftover pieces of chicken that nobody's eaten. I find a rotisserie. I buy grilled chicken for Shabbos's.
Yes.
And serve it, and then whatever isn't eaten becomes sometimes even two or three meals after Shabbos that we can repurpose into, as you
something
said, chicken fajitas or pulled chicken on a roll or chicken salad or chicken a la king.
Beautiful.
In fact, I made a few weeks ago a chicken and mushroom pasta sauce.
Oh, lovely.
Which was really delicious.
Tell us how you made it.
So, I'm a huge researcher when I cook. I really like doing things the real way. So when I'm about to do a recipe, I'll Google things, I'll YouTube things, I'll sit and I'll do the research for it so that I can get the technique like before I start cooking. So I made a chicken Alfredo. I mean, a normal Alfredo is meant to have like a bacon or ham or whatever in it.
Yes.
So I was always looking for like a way to substitute that. So I did it with chicken and it's done. The actual sauce is made with an egg. So I fried onion, fried the mushrooms with garlic, put in my chopped up chicken and cooked my spaghetti. The hot spaghetti then goes directly into the chicken and mushroom mixture in the pan and beaten eggs with some salt in the beaten egg, and you pour that over the pasta, the spaghetti and the chicken and mushroom, and that actually creates like this creamy sauce.
It doesn't go like scrambled
eggs. You can't do it boiling hot. And the one tip that I learned was you take a little bit of the boiling water from the pasta water, add it to the eggs just to beat it up so that it just tempers it a bit.
Yes.
Add that into the chicken and mushroom and pasta and then the biggest compliment that I always look for is like, oh my gosh, it tastes smoky. Yeah. That's like the biggest compliment I could ever get.
I can't believe this is
parrot. It's terrible. It was meaty. So that obviously, I mean, that was a traditional Alfredo way, but even without doing it, even if you just did chicken and mushroom and added a pair of cream or a pour of milk to make a sauce over chicken, over pasta, absolutely, absolutely delicious.
Okay, so we're going to an ad break and then we'll be back with Meryl chatting about food.
You're listening to the SN Fresen Show on 101.9 High FM.
We are known as the people of the book. We are literally connoisseurs, consumers of words and prose, sharers of ideas. In short, we are readers. Chai FM is starting a book club. Would you like to be one of Chai FM's book club readers? Every month you'll receive a book to review on the radio for our listening community. And it's social, it's fun, it's mentally enlightening, and we are looking for people with a wide range of reading topics and genres. Get in touch, email books at chaifm.com. I'll repeat that, books at chaifm.com. So I'm sitting here with Meryl Elvey and we are talking food, and I actually said to Meryl, oh, I've got to make a curry tonight. Does she have a quick and easy recipe for a curry? Everybody in my house loves curry, but one likes it with lamb, one likes it with chicken, one likes it with beef, one won't eat it if it's got bones in it. Anyway, but...
You sound like every household, I mean, every Jewish household in the world.
Oh,
yeah. So I must admit, we also love a lamb curry. I mean, it's absolutely just our favorite thing.
Yes.
And I think the best thing that ever happened to my kitchen was I invested in a electric pressure cooker. They market them now as Instapots, and there's all different, you know, there's a whole, like new phase going. If you look on Google, every 5 seconds it's about Instapots and recipes on Instapots. It's just literally it's just a brand name of a electric pressure cooker, which you can pick up quite cheaply. I think they're R1,000, R1,200. I mean, it's a bit of an investment, but it has really changed how I cook stews and curries and even soups, because what you had to do in 3-4 hours,
yes,
I can now do in about half an hour. So,
right. Did you have to brown it first?
So you start off exactly the same. You
right.
Do your onions, you brown your meat, do your onions and your aromatics, the garlic and the ginger and the chili, you add your curry powder, all in a frying pan, and then put everything, you know, with your base and your tomatoes and your whatever curry powder you're using in your pressure cooker.
Right.
Seal it, set it for 30 minutes, and you know, at the end of it, you have a curry that feels like it's been cooking.
30 minutes.
The only thing it doesn't do is it doesn't thicken.
Ah,
so you don't.
Okay.
So at the end of the cooking time, you still have this very liquid sauce, which you then have to thicken either with Bisto
or reduce it
if you've got the time, or with Mazina, however you would normally thicken a sauce.
Right.
But in terms of getting it cooked quickly, oh, so beautiful. I mean, I make a stew exactly the same thing or so. You know, I just find that, especially if you're using the cheaper cuts of meat, that if you don't have, if it hasn't cooked for hours, you just, you know, that toughness of that pressure cooker just is amazing.
Well, nudge, wink, wink. Is ever listening out there of my family? Pressure cooker, birthday next week.
But talking about curries,
I was
experimenting. I happened to see, at Kosher World a few months ago, there's a new brand of Parov yogurts.
This is amazing.
Urban Vegan, I think, is the brand name.
Yes.
So I did some research into it, and they've got a whole new range of Parov cheeses, and they really are outstanding. So the yogurt I bought and tried, because for my entire life I have dreamed about making a real McCoy chicken biryani, which needs to be marinated in yogurt.
Yeah, absolutely.
And wow. It just
magnificent.
Was absolutely beautiful. Really, really worked out so beautifully.
Yes.
Not always available. They do have it by the yogurt section there, Urban Vegan, but
yes,
it is quite expensive. It's not a, you know, like a,
if you want
quick,
a
but
special curry.
Sure. Mm. Really, really was amazing. But now,
that's
substitute, actually, now that I think about it, a nice substitute for that, though, is coconut cream.
Yes.
Which I use, which mix with a bit of lemon juice.
Yeah.
And,
but you know that Kentucky, inverted commas. KFC, kosher, what's it?
Kosher fried chicken.
Okay, you have to put it in buttermilk. So I would imagine that would be fantastic,
sure,
the yogurt.
Sure. I think it's just the yogurt, that acidity level that you can't get from anything else, that you just, works amazingly. So
I also
really nice
love
addition.
Coconut in my curry. So I suppose I better do a chicken curry tonight. That's the quickest, right? Because I haven't got a pressure cooker. Okay, so now, Shabbos. Shabbos around the corner. What are we going to make?
It's Tuesday. Shabbos is not around the corner, okay?
I actually start on Monday. I always start planning the menu on Monday. What are we going to make for Shabbos? Quick and easy this week. I've got a hectic day on Friday, so I really need to make it quick and easy.
Yeah.
What do you suggest?
So my first suggestion is you can't cook on Friday.
Maybe I do that first.
I work full day, so
yes,
I know that when I leave my house at 8 o'clock in the morning, Shabbos is done. if you haven't got time, you cannot cook on a Friday. I've always, whenever I've done any training courses or, you know, cooking classes or whatever, I once did a class from Shabbos in 2 hours, like how to prepare Shabbos in 2 hours from start to finish.
Yes.
That excludes shopping though.
Yeah, okay.
Shabbos in 2 hours means I have every single thing I need already in the house before I start. Yes. So, you know, if you're running to go get things, you can, so I start by making my challah dough. First things first.
Right.
Get the challah dough done. Yes. Put it on the side. My daughter actually gave me the most amazing tip for getting challah dough to rise quickly.
Yes.
You take your challah dough, you put it into a very large, very heavy duty, Ziploc bag.
Yes.
And put it into a bowl of hot water. So you've got to make sure it's sealed well so that no water gets into the bag, but it rises in minutes. Okay. So that was a really nice, especially when
use
really,
rapid rising yeast,
obviously. When it's really cold. So it works really, really nicely to get your dough.
Another tip is when you take the kids to school, when it's cold, you put it on the floor in the car.
Absolutely.
Best put place. Put on the heater and that's it.
Best place to
get
rise.
Get home with a beautiful dough.
Yeah. So I put my challah dough on first things first, get that rising. When that's on, I make a huge pot of soup and keep it in the freezer so I don't have to. But when I do have to make soup, I'll always start that on Thursday. My soup ain't a quick and easy recipe. My soup takes 2 days.
Okay. A lot of meaty bones.
I make a huge thing of stock. I make my granny's recipe that she taught me when I was a teenager that I just, you know, there's no quick and easy making soup
in
my house.
Barley and all.
So my chicken soup, no, but the stock takes a day to make.
Okay.
And then the rest of the soup another day. So I normally have my soup already made, but if it doesn't, then I put the stock on first thing and let it go. I make my soup, put the bones and everything in, then take them out.
Right.
And strain it so that it's
clear. I know how to strain it. I'll never forget.
With my stocking.
With your stocking. It was one of the greatest tips ever.
So, but also I don't like cooking bones with it. I don't like cooking the chicken and bones with the vegetables because I just find you can't clear it properly.
Yeah, 100%.
So I do the bones and chicken first, strain it, clear it, get it clear, and then do all my vegetables.
In that.
Once the soup's on, another tip I do. Hang on.
Yeah.
I start Thursday night before I go to bed.
Yes.
I marinate my meat.
Right.
My roast, whatever I'm making, and leave it marinating, actually in the dish that I'm cooking it in so that I don't have to move it around too much.
Okay.
I then have, most ovens have timers on them. I have an oven with a timer on and I set the timer to start cooking, well, to finish cooking at about 6 o'clock in the morning and it cooks for 2 hours. By the time I wake up in the morning, my meat has marinated overnight and cooked by the time I wake up in the morning.
Well, that's why I had to have you on the show.
So that's one thing that is off my list of having to oven time and, you know, prep time is already done. So my meat's already done. My challah's on. My soup's boiling. I then prep my chicken and sauce, whatever sauce I've chosen to make for that time to go into the oven. Put rice on. Prepare my vegetables. And normally I also make Sharon Lurie's chopped liver, which is the favorite thing that we can make in our house. In fact, I have to make enough for every member of the house to sit on Friday afternoon with a packet of crackers. Erev Shabbos lunch is a bowl of chopped liver with crackers before Shabbos.
Beautiful.
So, I prep my chopped liver, chop my onions, boil the eggs, get that all on.
And remember the onions that's a secret.
Three hours, whatever. I just leave them on until I've got time.
And just plenty.
And schmaltz.
Yeah.
Real schmaltz.
Make your own real
schmaltz. Oh my gosh, real schmaltz. It's not a time to worry about cholesterol. Shabbos. While my liver's going, I then pull out my Maggi Mix and I make hummus, which is a 5-minute recipe. For anybody that's never made hummus and that is spending close to 40 rand on a little tub of hummus, literally 5 minutes in a pressure, in a Maggi mix. So, yes. You just need to have bought the tahini, which is expensive, but it goes a very, very long way.
Right. Like,
the actual raw tahini. Yeah. So then I keep in the fridge and I'm using a quarter of a cup at a time. So my recipe is in the bowl of the Maggi mix, I put a quarter cup of tahini, the raw tahini, a quarter cup of water and 2 tablespoons of lemon juice. And about a tablespoon of chopped garlic. Put that all in and mix it up until it's very, very creamy. It gets more and more creamy as it mixes.
Yes.
1 tin of drained chickpeas. When you drain them, keep the water.
Yes.
So you drain it into a bowl. Once the tahini has, well, now it's now tahina has been made, I throw in the tin of chickpeas. Let that mix up again until they are completely smooth. Use the tinned water, just to smooth it down a little bit. Flavored with salt and cumin.
Right.
And that's...
And you have beautiful...
And that's... And about... Probably about 3 times the volume of one of those little buckies that you buy.
Right.
You know, the ready-made hummus.
And you can even... if you want to save even more money, you can get the chickpeas or raw.
And then I do them in my pressure cooker.
Okay.
Then I boil. But
you've got to soak them overnight.
You've got to, So that takes a long time to cook them. I find, funnily enough, that they don't come as creamy and as soft as the tinned ones. I find the tinned ones really just make the most beautiful. And then what we do is we just change the flavors. I add some beetroot to it and I make beetroot hummus. Or I add pesto to it and I make pesto hummus. Or, it looks gorgeous. You have a pink one and a green one and the white. It's absolutely beautiful. So,
Maybe I won't make curry tonight. Maybe we'll have shawarma and all the
goodies that go with it.
All the goodies.
So by the time it's hit 7 o'clock in the morning, on a Friday morning, my challah, soup, liver, hummus, meat, rice are done. My cholent is planned because I've gone shopping on Thursday afternoon.
Right.
Okay, so I have all the ingredients to throw together for the cholent. I always just buy a roast chicken, like you said, a rotisserie chicken. There's just no way. You just can't do it yourself.
I mean, no matter whether we're home for lunch or not on Shabbos, my husband always goes, where's the chicken?
And then the rest of it is just fresh. It's just salads. So as long as I know that I've got all the ingredients to make, and then normally on Shabbos morning, I sort of decide, okay, what kind of salad am I making? depending how I've gone.
Yeah.
The only thing that then takes a little bit of thought is dessert.
Dessert, yeah.
And invariably, whoever's coming to me as a guest, I'll say, and they offer their services, I'm like, yeah, I'll make a dessert. So much easier.
Exactly.
And that's my Shabbos in 2 hours.
Now, when do you bake your challah?
Oh, sorry. So then once my dough's risen, braid them, and I normally actually just leave them to be baked by whoever's at home for me. So my maid will help me, I have older kids at home, so I know that's taken care of. If I have time, then I'll bake them myself. What we love doing is we normally make babka.
Yes.
Out of half the challah dough as well.
Right.
Just because that's Shabbos morning kiddush. So we'll make challahs and babka. Yeah.
With the same dough, and just add a little bit of sugar and cinnamon.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Roll it onto a rectangle. Layer it with oil. I saw that in your recipe, and I was like, I have to do that the next time.
Sticky and crispy and
delicious. We actually made babkas for the breaking of the fast, and I forgot about that tip. And now this Shabbos, we'll do it with apricot jam, and then roll it up, stick it in a tin, and in the oven.
That's it.
That's
easy peasy. So now I think.
If you can give me a dessert that takes that quick as well, I will be very grateful.
I'll give you the quickest dessert.
Mm-hmm.
Go out and get a chocolate box cake. Okay. You mix it according to the instructions. You take 200 grams of chocolate. You melt it with 2 cups of water.
Okay.
Okay. Boiling water.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. Boiling water in the chocolate. And just mix it around till it dissolves in the water, and you pour it over the raw dough.
So like a self-sourcing chocolate pudding.
Exactly.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That is, and you put it in like whatever time Shabbos comes in, just put it in just before. And, serve it at room temperature. And it's delicious.
Sure. So, yeah. So another tip, another thing that we love is I grew up eating roast potatoes on Shabbos, and it's been my lifelong quest to get the perfect crispy, fluffy roast potato on the Shabbos table. So anybody knows that once you take a roast potato and stick it in the hot tray, you ain't got no roasted potatoes anymore.
Yeah.
So what I've been doing now is I parboil them.
Right.
So that they're also quite cooked. Coat them in oil, Ina Palm and potato spice is my go-to flavoring.
Yes.
And then I put them in the oven. So they're really mostly cooked.
Do you boil them in the jacket?
No. Peeled and cut into chunks already. Right. Oil and Ina Palm and potato spice. And then I put them in the oven about an hour, maybe half an hour, 45 minutes before candle lighting.
Right.
And then as I light candles, I turn the oven off and I leave them in the oven.
Right.
So the oven is hot enough still for a good, at least half an hour.
Yes.
Still. But they stay in the oven and stay crispy when they come to the table, even if it's a few hours till I eat supper. I just find they're not boiling hot, but they are still warm and still crunchy and crispy. So that's at the moment
and
no matter how much I make, it just gets finished.
Yeah. Because you actually get tired of making potato kugel and it doesn't stay crispy on top. And I started making potato bake with onions and mushrooms and that kind of thing. That's a little easier, a little better on Shabbos. But I think one of my all-time favorites has to be smoked beef rib, a smoked top rib roast.
Yeah.
And all you do...
With the bone on.
With the bone, because this one likes bone, that one doesn't. And then, I mean, it's a lovely roast because the top is almost like a mock brisket.
Mm.
So being smoked, you get it smoked and cooked from your butcher. And then I just wash it well to get that saltiness off. And just slather, what did they say? Just smear on the chutney, and I leave it and just roast it low and slow for hours.
Hmm. Do you need to order it, or can you just go in and buy one?
No,
you need to order it.
It's best to order it. Although they do have smoked top rib most of the time, it's good to pre-warn them.
Good one to know.
Yeah, so that's quite easy. And then the one shot sweet and sour beef pot.
Mm.
That's also quite an easy one. You know, so often people say, but hang on, low and slow. It's actually a very, very quick method. I did something yesterday.
It takes 5 minutes.
Literally. Mm. I mean, I just stuck it in my crock pot and by supper time it was ready. It was perfect. Mm. So I take 2 kilo cooked pickled hump, already cooked, rinse it well. Get the salty brine off. All right, let's go to an ad break, and then I'll come back with the one-shot sweet and sour beef pot.
You're listening to the SM Fresen Show on 101.9 High FM.
Thank you for joining us. It's the SM Fresen Show. I'm Sharon Lurie, the Kosher Butcher's wife. And with me in studio today is Meryl Elvey, and we're just talking food. A lovely,
our favorite subject.
Chilled morning, where you can phone in. You can actually telegram us on 061-895-1019 or SMS us on 34519 and give us some tips. Quick and easy meals. That's what we're talking before having to get ready for Yontif. And while I'm on the subject of Yontif and Rosh Hashanah and ordering your meat, it is never too early to order and take your meat. It's no good ordering it and not taking it. Have it in your freezer. I give this tip every year and I say the same thing. Remember, we've had breakdowns at the abattoirs. We've had strikes at the abattoirs. We've had delivery vehicles flipping out on us. We've had staff freaking out on us. So get your meat and put it in your freezer. There's nothing wrong with freezing it for a couple of weeks. And then at least you know you've got it. Okay, so don't forget to order your pickled ham, because we are going back to the one-shot sweet and sour beef pot. Now, there's always something very special about sweet and sour brisket, or as I say, you can use a pickled ham. But I think the most important thing is getting that sweetness and that sourness to balance. Mm. You don't want something too sweet, mind you, Rosh Hashanah, okay? But, you know, this one really works for us. So what you need is your pickled ham rinsed in cold water before cooking it. 3 large onions sliced into rings. I love my onions. I don't know how you feel about onions.
Onions just make everything better.
Absolutely. I've got a recipe where I use 5 onions. And people go, 5? And just use them because they shrivel up to nothing anyway. So this recipe, you need 3 onions, a teaspoon of freshly crushed garlic, 3 tablespoons of ginger syrup. I know you can make your own ginger syrup because it's quite expensive. So you just use fresh ginger, a little bit of water, and a little bit of about a cup of sugar, and bring it to the boil. And you can just store it in a jar and use that as your ginger syrup, but leave the ginger in. 1/2 cup of tomato ketchup, 1/2 cup of sweet chili sauce, 1/2 cup of apricot jam, and 2 cups of the bottled sauerkraut drained. You can get it, I think, the tinned or the bottled, but you want about 2 cups drained, and 1 kilo of baby potatoes. I leave the skin on because I just find that they stay intact better that way, and 500 grams of baby carrots, the ones that are already peeled, or you can use the ones that are julienned, you can slice them up if you want. You can even grate them. So once we've washed our pickled ham to get rid of the excess salt in the pickle brine, you can bring it to the boil if you want, and then just throw off the water. You place it into a roasting pan. And meanwhile, you fry the onions, the crushed garlic, and the ginger until the onions are light brown. I just think it just gives it such a lovely taste, that caramelized onion taste. Mm. Just brings out the flavor. You add the tomato sauce, the sweet chili sauce, apricot jam, and the sauerkraut. Bring it to the boil. Reduce the heat. Allow it to simmer for about 2 or 3 minutes. And then you pour the sauce over the meat. Add the potatoes and the carrots. Cover it with foil. And you leave it and roast it for about 3 hours. Remember that it is cooked already. You want a pickled cooked ham or pickled cooked brisket. And let it roast on about 160, 170 for 3 hours. After about 1.5 hours of cooking, you turn the meat over. You can cook it in a bag. I find that if I cook it in a bag, it keeps the moisture in. Yeah. Obviously, if you have a pressure cooker, how long would that take?
Maybe 1/2 hour, but I don't even know if you fit it in, but yeah, 1/2 hour, 40 minutes. One thing about cooking slow, like I just feel if you're dry roasting a meat, then you want high temperatures in the oven. But the way we're cooking meat is more like a pot roast where you're cooking it in a sauce. Lower temperatures are so much better for the meat, even from a raw meat. You're talking about a cooked meat already, but even from a raw roast, I just found that the proteins in the meat break down so much softer if they cooked on. I would never cook a meat on higher than 160, unless it was a dry roast.
Like a scotch fillet or something like that.
Absolutely, absolutely. Right. Okay. But a meat in a sauce at 160 max, so that the meat gets a chance just to break down and be super soft and buttery once it's cooked. Otherwise, you're going to get this very tough, hard meat.
Absolutely. Mm. Almost that you can just pull it apart.
Absolutely.
But you can put this in your crock pot, or you can put it into and leave it on cooking on low. I mean, this is delicious to have
for Shabbos lunch.
Mm-hmm. Really, it's very easy.
So nice.
Simple, simple. And so that's another quick Shabbos lunch tip. Or stick it in earlier during the day and have it for Shabbos supper. And what else are we going to? What else? What other nice recipes have we got? Quick and easy.
Okay, so in our house, just generally when supper has to get on the table and exhausted and no time and no puttering, some of the standard quickies that we do, obviously, are spaghetti bolognese.
Yeah.
It's just beautiful. Spaghetti bolognese, in the time that it takes to cook the pasta, you can probably get the sauce up as well. I mean, it's just, I think it's a universal favorite for everybody.
Yeah.
So simple, just fried onion and garlic, brown the mincemeat. I use the Italian tomatoes.
Yes.
I just find that they are the
Absolutely.
Nicest. I actually use the whole tomatoes and then squish them with my hands into the tin. You have to make sure you've got a pot or a plate or something just covering it. Otherwise, you get tomato all over yourself. But I just find the nicest flavor. So generally, 2 tins of tomato, a sachet of tomato paste.
Yes.
And let that simmer away while I put the water on to boil for the spaghetti. I season it with you call it the Holy Trinity in cooking, but I mean, I don't know if that's not exactly the way we're going to describe it. Yeah, but basil, thyme, and oregano are my three go-to herbs for any Italian dish. So I sprinkle with basil, thyme, and oregano, salt and pepper. And by the time the pasta's cooked and drained, sauce is reduced, and that supper. I mean, that's just one of our favorite suppers.
I make a huge pot of the tomato sauce, and then
Absolutely.
I just pack it into 0.5 liter or 1 liter buckies in my freezer.
So even better than, so this is a tip I learned, I think maybe even Jamie Oliver was the tip I learned from.
Yes.
When you freeze them in Ziploc bags. Okay, quite get large Ziploc bags.
Yes.
Flat. Okay, so you make them, you fill them, make them flat, get out as much air as you can, and you freeze them, and then you stack them standing up inside the freezer. So you can just pull out one packet, so you don't have all your containers in the freezer taking up space.
Right.
Never mind that it doesn't take up space in the freezer, it defrosts in minutes because it's
so
quite flat.
Yeah.
So you can get like 2-3 cup sizes, which is the same as you would put into a normal bucky, but you can take it and within minutes the sauce is defrosted, or you can even just break it up and put it into your sauce. It just works amazingly.
I'm going to do that. I'm the Ziploc queen.
Yeah, no, I love Ziploc. Even soup as well.
Yes, absolutely.
In a pot, you put the Ziploc inside a Tupperware, fill it with the soup, seal it, and when it's frozen, take it out the Tupperware and leave the Ziploc packet in the freezer. So I just find that I forever have Tupperwares that are in the freezer or dishes that are in the freezer, and I never ever have any dishes left in my kitchen. So that's like a really nice way to...
My Ziplocs. Yeah. In fact, I always, you come to me on Shabbos, you open the fridge, they're like filed. Chopped onions, chopped tomatoes, my filing system.
Amazing.
Okay, amazing. And some more.
So that's spaghetti bolognese. It's quick and easy. We often make stir fries, which are just super super quick.
Oh, they're so super quick. I find them such a pain. I know. I make them. My daughter loves it.
Yeah.
And stir fries.
The reason that I find them so quick is because the meat is so quick to cook. It's minutes to cook a stir fry, with the two things. It does take time to chop veggies if you are chopping your own veggies. I do. I actually find it very therapeutic, and I really enjoy chopping my own veggies. Also with my goal of making 200 rand dinners, I buy my veggies fresh and chop them all myself. You can buy ready chopped veggies. So, those packets of cabbage, and carrot is like a staple, and all you really need to add to that is a few things. But I just, because the cooking time's so quick, so I find even though the prep times are maybe a little bit longer because you have to stand and slice all your veggies, you can still get it ready within, half an hour, 40 minutes, because your mise en place is so quick. Yeah, your mise en place is a bit longer, but the cooking is so quick. Quite a lot of stir fries, but we generally have stir fry once a week. It's just delicious with either rice or with noodles as well.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a whole meal there. I do have a delicious, delicious chicken recipe that I make. It's not a quick recipe, but it doesn't take, the prep is not long because once everything's on to cook, everything's on to cook, As you said, most things, the prep is 10 minutes and the rest of the time is oven time. So it doesn't take. So I make a really, really delicious, chicken tagine.
Oh, I love it.
So I use, again, I'll buy a ready-made sauce. Yes. Generally, I love, as I said, the Ina Palm and olive and rosemary. It's absolutely delicious.
Right.
I'll just put my chicken, pour it over a chicken braai pack in the oven. Okay, that's the amount of time it takes to cut open a pack and pour it onto a dish.
Right.
That's how long that takes. I generally buy the packets of cut up roast veggies.
Yes.
Woolies make them, Pick and Pay make them. I think most of them.
Right.
You can get them really anywhere. Butternut and baby marrow and it's got some peppers in it. And carrots. And I'll just quickly fry them in oil in a quite a big pot. Just fry them in a little bit of olive oil first just to get them going. And then I add... See, I'm really bad with recipes. That's why I could never write a recipe book.
My mouth is watering. You're doing well.
A bit of cumin, a bit of coriander, a bit of turmeric, a bit of paprika, a bit of garlic and onion powders.
Yes.
You can get ready-made mixes of like Moroccan style,
yes.
Moroccan flavors.
Yes.
If you had to ask me, I would say half a teaspoon of each. Cumin, right. Coriander, turmeric, garlic, salt and pepper.
Okay.
We need to carry on. And then let that boil.
Yes.
And serve that with couscous. Chicken, veggies and couscous.
Simple as that.
Yeah.
After the break, we'll come back with maybe one or two quick recipes.
You're listening to the SN Fresen Show on 101.9 High FM.
Thank you for tuning in to the Essen Fresen Show. I'm Sharon Lurie, a kosher butcher's wife, and I am with Meryl Elvey, and we are just talking food, our favorite subject. So we were talking about quick and easy things and saying how just throwing something into a pot is also quick and easy. I mean, I'm just thinking about Shabbos. Okay, I made lamb. All I did... I like to braai first. I love braaiing. In fact, in the Get It magazine, I don't know if you saw that, the lady came to interview me and she called me because I said I love braaiing. The braaiing queen of Highlands North. But I do, I love it. I braai my scotch fillet, I braai my lamb, I braai everything. Then I put it into the roasting pan and let it go for about 2-3 hours. Burn, because there's nothing worse than brine and burning.
A gas bra. So you just have to turn it on. Okay.
So
I was like,
easy.
You were rising in my estimation, like watching you make a bra from scratch.
Dear, I do that too. I always say to my husband, I make a much better bra than you. I'm an old farm girl. We know how to do these things. So what I do is I just take the lamb and put it, braai it first. Don't spice it, nothing. Then I put it into my roasting pan. All I do is put, rosemary and mint, fresh rosemary, fresh mint, pack it in, garlic all over, and stick it in the oven. I don't put anything, I just leave it dry roasting like that.
A shoulder of lamb.
Shoulder of lamb. Just low and slow, and all the juice comes out and just cooks it beautifully. And a tip I learned from a friend of mine, thank you, Socks. He said, never put the lemon juice in the lamb.
Hmm.
Always squeeze it on afterwards, just before you're going to serve it.
Okay, nice tip.
And I also grind a lot of black pepper over it. He says it just dehydrates the lamb.
Ah,
if you put the lemon juice on.
Interesting.
So our time's up, unfortunately. I mean, I could sit here all day and chat to you. Meryl, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And thank you for being with us and sharing your lovely ideas and recipes. So now we could all go home and quickly cook.